I don't know how I got home. Similar story to you. I got to my hotel and I was so lost. An old couple took me by the hand, took me to my room. He left. She undressed me.
What?
And what? Put me to bed, tucked me in, and said, "We'll sleep."
You,
and I went straight to sleep. So I don't know what happened.
Sleep like a rave.
I actually once got so drunk at Altrincham Market that I woke up minus my work laptop miles away and had to go back to Altrincham to find. Yeah.
Were you roofied? What's happening?
No, I got.
Terrifying.
He was working.
I went to Altrincham. I went to Altrincham. Because I had a work client up there. And then my girlfriend at the time was from nearby. I was like, "Hey, well, go up. I'll go up like in the week. Then I'll stay like the weekend, and then I'll stay the next week. You come up for the weekend. We'll have a fine time," which we did. We went to Altrincham Market and met an older couple, one of whom owned a nightclub that was basically frequented by footballers. We started
this
talking.
This is how you end up in the world's dirtiest jacuzzi. Mm. Yeah. with a 55-year-old woman like slowly putting her arm around you and going like, "So how long have you guys been together?"
I don't think it was like that.
Where was the club? Was it
you
in
don't
Hale?
Remember.
I think it was in Sale or Hale.
It'll be Hale.
Yeah, okay.
If it's footballers, it won't be Sale. Yeah.
Now for a round of Sale or Hale. Can we get the jingle for that,
Hang
please?
On. No, because my parents don't live there anymore, but apparently it's got really posh. Like, Altrincham's nice now. The market's cool.
So the reason I started talking to this couple was that they came back, and I remember this very specifically. They came back to where I was sitting with my girlfriend at the time, with like a bottle of Chateau Musard, which is like a wine I really, 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 really like up to this day. And I was like, "Whoa, Chateau Musard."
If anyone at home is looking for ways to like lure Riley under a box propped up by a stick with a string attached, you're getting a lot of examples at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A van full of Chateau Musard.
So I had...
It's like Riley being molested by like the world's most louche paedophile. It's like I've got a van full of Chateau Musard with you.
It's been airing.
I've got an oxygenator. It works extremely well.
Yeah, they do work well. But...
They're in the van.
Yeah, no, it's good. Look, we're not here to talk oxygenators. The reason that I remember this so clearly, the first bit, and then the second bit, not at all, I ordered a lesser Lebanese wine, a Chateau Ksara.
The lesser Lebanese wine, okay. Yeah.
And then they got, and we were talking, and then it was just very, they were like, "Hey, why don't you come back to like our club that we own?" And then they kept getting, and I remember this very, very clearly, it seared into my mind, kind of bottle service, but of the world's worst rosé, and it came on like a kind of tree,
on a tree,
like a kind of rosé tree. Imagine instead of fruits, it was bottles of rosé,
like that experiment with the monkeys.
Oh, well, the wire mother.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, you know the wire mother.
Yeah, the wire.
I don't. But
I
honestly don't need to know.
No,
you'll meet the wire mother.
Bring her out. Bring her out.
That is extraordinary. And then you got shit-faced on this cheap rosé and then ended up...
absolutely obliterated on this cheap rosé. And then
it's just not a line I ever expected to hear you say. Riley, it's like, well, as we all know, Riley loves cheap rosé. You can't keep this man away from a barefoot Zinfandel.
Yeah. Well, that's the answer to what he would borrow from the bachelorette party culture.
Yes. Repeat that question, because that's a very good question for
Riley,
for
what
the
would you, as a straight man, borrow from bachelorette party culture?
And it's the cheap rosé.
I guess it's the...
Only when it comes on a tree, though. I think the tree is very important.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as the tree is made of wires.
Yeah,
like the least welcoming tree in the world.
Yeah. You sort of stay sober forever, but you're clinging to the cloth tree.
I don't want to go to this club now.
What about this? Yeah.
So what happened was, oh, please go ahead.
I was going to say, don't try and add to the story. It's still going on. We'll be here for a while.
We're here for efficiency. No. Let's get through the story quickly.
Okay, fine. I will say nothing for 5 minutes.
No diversions. No, please, that's diversions. Right. I remember running into the bathroom, sort of being sort of insensibly drunk, and then the next thing I remember.
Well, I was insensible.
The next thing I remember is I woke up in the Airbnb that I didn't check into. So I must have checked into the Airbnb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I could not find my like work laptop and had to then go back to Altrincham from Central Manchester. It was pure
that
luck.
That night or the next
the
day?
The next morning while like dying. And it was pure dumb That's luck awful. That we did like the drunk number exchange, and it's only kind of now dawning on me that maybe they were hitting on us.
Obviously they were.
Maybe.
Was the jacuzzi real or was that one of your builds?
No, I was imagining a jacuzzi, but those are the kind of people who have a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like no one normal has a jacuzzi. Like it's always a sex thing.
I was at a wedding once and there was a jacuzzi, and at the end of the wedding everyone got into it. Very unwell.
Everyone.
Well, like the bride, the groom, like the people that the stragglers who were left.
Were you saying
Barcelona.
instead of a top table, they had a jacuzzi?
Basically, but a long one.
That's good, like on a stage, just a jacuzzi.
Yeah. But, you know, there's like the stragglers at the end of the wedding. Here, still shit faced. And then I was staying in Barcelona town, so I don't know how I got home. Similar story to you, but I got to my hotel and I was so lost that an old couple took me by the hand, took me to my room. He left. She undressed me.
What?
And what? Put me to bed, tucked me in, and said, "You'll sleep this off, sweetheart." I went straight to sleep. So I don't know what happened.
You remember
after
that?
I remember that, but I distinctly remember that she didn't leave before I slept. So she was in the room when I fell asleep. Because you know when you're just done on a night out?
Yeah.
So maybe that happened to you.
What was it like to be undressed by a strange?
So weird. But you know, I was also kind of grateful for it. And I was soaking wet because I'd been in a jacuzzi.
Right. and she was naked too, so there wasn't really an imbalance.
No judgment.
Wait. So were you just in like your shorts?
I was in like, I guess like my trousers from the wedding.
Right,
but you put them back on out of the jacuzzi.
Yeah.
Like,
well, not an animal. Like when you're like, going to walk down the street.
But it was that thing where you're like yanking trousers onto wet legs, and it just won't go.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're back to Tom Waits songs again. Yanking trousers onto wet legs.
It was much easier to yank trousers onto a sports team. No one knows the band Wet Leg.
I'm far too old to know them.
No,
I'm from New Zealand.
They're always advertised on the tube.
Oh my god.
Same.
Not even. That's far away.
Some far away.
Other side of the world. I'm thinking of ever seeing. Yeah, whatever. First
time. Did you ever see the old lady again?
No, I didn't make it to breakfast, shockingly.
Yeah. What's this couple roaming around looking for?
Well, this was my. I mean, obviously, afterwards, you think, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
Why? They must have been out on the night out, but it must have been at least 4 a.m.
They weren't affiliated with the wet.
No. They were just going back to the hotel, I guess, or just hanging around waiting for wet.
This has the character of one of those like encounters with the supernatural stories that you get on like daytime TV, like satellite shows, where it's like, and then the woman disappeared and I never saw her again. Yeah. And no such woman had checked into the hotel.
She'd folded all of my clothes and put them on the chair in my room. Mm. So she was kind.
Were you missing a watch or anything? Yeah.
Why, the Swingers Club burned down 40 years ago this very night.
I think it might be something more sinister and more heartbreaking, like maybe they lost a son that looked like you.
Oh God.
They lost him in a drowning accident as well.
You looked like a fucking ghost.
I was very triggering for them. Yeah. Okay.
They used to let him roam the Swingers Club, but he fell in the jacuzzi and drowned.
Were they English?
I think so. Yeah. Well, they spoke English. I was so hammered. Yeah. I don't really remember.
I think that's a kind of international solidarity thing where it's like, if you're British and absolutely wasted in Spain, it's like every other British person is like a walking embassy. Like, they can help you.
Which would be true if I wasn't already in the hotel. You know, I was I was safe. I wasn't just like roaming the streets.
Yeah.
You weren't in distress.
No.
Like, at worst, you would have woken up in the wrong part of the hotel.
Were you having trouble with the hotel as a concept?
Possibly. I was impolitely drunk. What can I say?
Yeah. Some people get drunk and they get slutty, and some people get really drunk and get motherly, and that's what happened to you.
Yeah. Sometimes it's both. The Olga Koch story.
The old coin flip.
Also, I have to bring this up, but fantastic comedian Ruben Kay was doing some gay cruises, and he said that the jacuzzi on the gay cruise looked like congee.
Oh, no. You've got to have a no coming in the jacuzzi rule, because it's gonna make
that, Milo.
It's gonna make like cum omelet. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah. It'll curdle.
Yeah.
It sort of reminds me of the Romanian water park sort of pool with all the pee in it, right? That we talked about a couple episodes ago. Like, sure, there's a rule that says no peeing in the sort of big communal pool with all the swim up bars. How are you going to enforce it? How are you going to enforce no coming in the sauna? Not sauna? No jacuzzi.
Probably also your experience.
Oh, you can come in the sauna. That just dries. You can get it off with a paint scraper the next day. A girl once innocently asked me why men don't simply wank in the bath. And I was like, oh, you sweet summer child. You've got no idea of the kind of horrors that would create.
Well, also, the water, wouldn't you chafe again? Because you're using water. That would be quite uncomfortable. Beyond the obvious,
I feel as though if you're keeping this is the North American
the
European wanking
vibe.
Because you're doing a lubed masturbation situation.
Well, you gotta.
We tend to be like dry, you know, because you're not really moving back and forth. It's a narrower range of motion, so you don't require the.
But like the bath thing, the naivety came through with people's reaction to
what
salt.
What show am I on?
Oh, this is this is wank technique.
Come wank with us.
Yeah. Well, this is the come wank with us, and this is the discussion show
podcast.
After the...
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
About our wanks.
Ray Norton's going to be through with some white wine like in any minute.
We watch footage of other people doing it, and we do a sort of like post-match.
This is called the extra stroke.
Yeah. It is.
Well, this sort of goes back to
at the gap he's left here. That's just amateur hour. He's living here like red circle. He's got so much space and he's not using any of it.
Like, just Roy Keane having no sense of humor about a premature bust.
Always a very angry old Scottish former athlete. It's absolutely disgrace. I mean, that's not the like sort of thing you want to see at the game at the stage. And you go, yeah. People are like really frowny about this guy. That'd be good. Would that be good on Pornhub?
Yeah.
I'd watch. Yeah, right.
I just disapprove of his conduct outs off the field.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
But the salt burn thing where people were like, oh, he's drinking bath water. And it's like, I think it's just bath water, is it? But you can't say that. You can only think it privately.
Yeah. It's sort of innocence.
Yeah,
you know?
You can't say.
It's like, well, why those two old men who live together are just friends?
Roommates. Those two roommates of Pompeii who just loved being around each other. Too bad they never found husbands. It was like
well, that one fossilized guy was having the extra stroke.
Well, it's weird. It's because the game has its roots in the Olympics, actually.
What of wanking?
Yeah, it's very old.
The great game. The great game of wanking.
The gentleman's game.
Ah, the great game.
It's
played by all, won by few.
A gentleman's game played by hooligans.
Gentlemen, which one would wanking be? A gentleman's game played by hooligans or a hooligans game played by gentlemen?
I think it's a hooligans game played by gentlemen.
Yeah, you can't say it's refined inherently.
Yeah. No. There's sort of a bunch of bizarre rules, like one hand only.
At dawn.
Yeah. No backwards passing, still very important.
No movement above the elbow.
It's got to be in whites.
It's just cricket rights with like a hole cut
in the front.
Urns
and sandwiches sort of towards the end.
In terms of your bachelorette question, I stag do wearing sashes would be quite, it would look like the Congress of Vienna or something. It would look like a bunch of ambassadors were out. Men in sashes would be frightening to me more than.
Or men wearing L plates as well, as though they're in training for something.
What is the L plate about? Like,
what is that meant to be?
You're learning how to.
You put it in the back of your car window.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean what it actually is, not in the context of a.
No, what does it mean in a bachelorette party? You're like learning to be a wife?
It means that you're not. You've never had sex? You're learning to be a woman? I don't quite know.
Yeah. Learning to work.
It's weird, which obviously isn't.
But on a man, it would take on a sort of like. There's certain like diminutive things you can do, you know, sort of women do to each other, and it's like, oh, this is a joke. But if a bunch of men went out and one of them was wearing L plates, you'd be like, oh, he's mentally impaired in some way.
The joke is that, well, the joke is some long anecdote about him fucking someone in a really incompetent way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone asks about.
Yeah.
Crowns would be good. I think that's transferable. Crowns.
Yeah, yeah, that would be fun.
I'm not a huge person for the whole dressing up. Or like the worst thing on a stag is like the t-shirt thing.
Yeah.
You just look like cunts. Like there's no one can pull off a
there's
t-shirt.
There's no way to be on a stag do unless you're unless you're sort of trying to disguise that fact at every turn where you won't look like the worst. I've been on every stag do I've been on where I've like had to interact with the general public. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about all of this. I really can't begin to apologize enough to the good people of Naples.
I do love a stag though.
You went to Pompeii on a stag.
We're gonna meet the original wanker.
Big sports fans.
Yeah, because you're a fucking wanker. We made him pose next to the fossilized man and pretend he was also wanking. Yeah.
Great. It all started
That's
here.
Legendary.
We sent it to his mum.
I've come full circle.
That is so elaborate for such a tiny payoff.
It'd be such a funny thing because the whole time the stag would have a good 20 hours of thinking, what is this for? That's you, that is. Just right at the end of all that, just pointing at a wanking skeleton and saying, that's you, that's why we're here. And then leaving Pompeii
immediately. We can all just go home, exactly.
Yeah, now we can all leave. That was the bit. It would be fun to do a stag do where the entire theme of the stag do is to blend in as a different group activity. Like, our whole thing is that we're sales reps.
Yeah.
Like, we're pretending we all sell photocopiers.
That would be so fun.
And you have to be in character the whole time.
With missionaries
and everything. You're wearing name tags. Suits.
Missionaries, like a Christian outreach.
Is good. Like
Rumspringa.
Yes,
that would be such a good bachelor party.
Just
thing.
Every time, like someone gets out a cigarette lighter or a torch, you're like, "Fuck me, fuck off!"
Whoa, yeah, what a day.
They ask you to scan a QR code in the restaurant, and you're like, "Whoa! What devilry is this? Yeah,
calling everyone English? Say they're English." My pipe with pipes. No one even has cigarettes. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
That is fun.
Yeah, but it has to be like in like Zante, like or like Kos, or like one of these places where people go to puke. Right? Yeah. You can't be doing
that's
in
too,
Amish
that's
country.
That's too young though for a stag do. It would need to be somewhere like Prague or Krakow.
Oh, yes, of course. Amsterdam.
Perfect.
Go to Amsterdam, dress up as Amish guys on Rumspringa, call everyone English.
Like Mormons, yeah. Hello, English.
They're Pennsylvania Dutch.
Oh, yeah, in Amsterdam, you would just be speaking your weird, like, 14th century Prussian and trying to get by on it.
God, I was in Amsterdam at the weekend, and Dutch is a very unnerving language.
And there were all these guys with beards that came up to you.
Yeah. Because you think they're speaking English for the first 3 seconds because it's so similar. Like someone comes up and talks to you in a cafe, like the waitress or whatever, and starts and it's like it's so close to English that you for a minute think you've forgotten how to speak English. Yeah. And you're like, oh fuck, the dementia is set in. Like it's happening, and then you're like, oh no, this is a weird language.
Yeah,
it's very like. Full of the mouth, isn't it? There's like a lot of like, well, what is that's terrible. Yeah. Do you know what? I spent most of my podcast doing terrible accents, and Dutch was my hardest one. So
really?
Yeah, just because it's so, like you say, it's so odd.
Yeah, they also sound very different, I find, when they're speaking Dutch to when they're speaking. Like the Dutch accent in English is like a separate accent.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. There's a big difference between the two. But they all have learned English from American sitcoms, so that adds a whole extra spin.
Yeah. Bazinga.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how I met your mother. All these classic Dutch idioms that we share all the time.
A Dutch guy who's a huge fan of How I Met Your Mother is an absolute nightmare. And that's all he knows about English culture. It's all his English is from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Oh. You've really kicked me out of this hypothetical.
Yeah, that's a horrifying
thought.
You're like this guy.
You're sort of imagining what a Jason Siegel Dutchman. You know,
Sort
of a floppy.
He looks Dutch.
Yeah, he's tall.
He's very tall. Yeah. What was your best accent?
I don't think I had one.
Honestly. What was the one you liked
by definition?
Doing the most?
What's one that I like doing? I like doing like. Oh no, Judge! I actually can't think of any that I want to do. I have retired from terrible accents.
All we got was what? So we can guess from that.
is it your choking accent?
It's north of the wall for gap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was like one of the characters called Bella. And she's like that. And that was always okay, the easiest because it just was like, just train wreck woman. But they're hard accents. Mm. And people get very offended when you do them poorly, which I understand. But, you know, there were a few that I wouldn't ever attempt, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For obvious reasons.
Not these
until
days.
Now.
That's what this podcast really is.
Right, we're gonna go through the consonants and do the accent, starting in alphabetical order. So A.
So I sometimes like to, you know, Google something. Today I decided to Google Sydenham ghost story.
Oh hell yeah!
Okay. But that's like a what three words. We're like back on the what three words skit.
I was scrolling through this, and this was posted by Lemonade, who says, "Hello, Leaf. Yes, as Sarah C. says, brilliant topic, although I'm probably the one who'll be, quote, shot down after this. When I was about 10, my sister and I were about to leave home one morning to attend summer school during the summer holidays. And during the same time, my dad had his provisional driving license renewed. And he always used to give me his old one, still in mint condition, complete with plastic holder."
Wait, why did her dad have a provisional driving license?
Why was he always giving her the old one?
That's such a funny thing just to toss in there.
Yeah.
Well, he's giving her the old one so that she can use it as fake ID. That's what I presume. Yeah.
As a much older gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is
odd. You
don't
know what she looks like.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do not judge her.
She has a rare disease where she looks like an old man.
She looks exactly... You know what it is? It's like genetically, there's none of her mother in there. Just all
that's right. Yeah.
I was looking through the pockets of my jacket whilst it was still hanging up an old clothes peg, as I wanted to see if I had extra pennies for the shop. I reached into the left-hand side jacket pocket and pulled out the driving license. I put my hand in the right pocket and pulled out another driving license. At this point, my sister said, "How come you got two of them?" And I replied, "I don't know."
What?
Spooky.
What?
Really, really, really spooky.
What era is this from?
2006. Well,
pennies suggest Victorian era.
Yeah. Yeah, like, because I'm just thinking pennies before... for the shop. Before a certain time, British driving licenses didn't have pictures on them. You just had like a pink, because my mum had one. It was just like a folded pink card. I remember getting pulled over by the cops once, and they were about to do it for speeding, and then the cop got so distracted by the fact that my mum's driving license fell into six pieces in his hands. He was like, "How have you still got this? I haven't issued these since the late 70s. And she's like, "Well, I've had it since then." And he's like, "You're supposed to exchange it for a photo card." And she's like, "Anyway, you're going to nick me for speed." He's like, "Forget about that. How do you still..." What?
She just had a piece of paper that said, "I can drive."
It just has like your name and address on it.
I like that she's got basically, "Oh yes, let me get my bag of driving license and give that to you."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's sort of held together in the wallet because it was in like a pocket, but just every hinge in this like folded card thing had like eroded. So as soon as the cop took it, it just like fell into like, five or six pieces.
Like when archaeologists aren't careful enough with an ancient parchment.
Yeah.
They would have had to have x-rayed your mum's driving license.
But it was perfect plot for my mum to use like a kind of like feminine privilege of being like, "Imagine, I don't know what I'm doing. Look, my driving license just fell into five bits." He's like, "Oh, go on, you scamp." And my dad was sat in the back with me and he's going, "I'd have been nicked for that. 100%.
Your dad was sat in the back.
Yeah, she was driving us to the, or maybe he was in the front as well, I can't remember, but she was driving us to the airport.
Oh, okay.
I was about 17.
She wanted to take on the role of a chauffeur. So she was like, no, get in the back. I'm driving you to the airport."
Well, that's why she was wearing the hat, which the policeman would have asked about had he not become distracted by the license. Yeah. I did actually want to tell a joke because I remembered a joke this week and I thought Olga would enjoy it.
Let's go.
Of you may too. It's a Russian joke.
Okay.
So,
Translated.
I was telling
this
joke. I'm not going to tell it in Russian. The first Russian joke I ever learned, and I was told to it by this friend of mine who's Russian. This came up in conversation with my girlfriend this week somehow because she was asking me about Russian jokes. And this is now like her favorite joke, but I think it perfectly conveys the Russian sensibility. Mm-hmm. There's three men traveling on a train, a Russian, an Englishman, and a Frenchman. And there's a woman in their compartment who is of like irrelevant nationality. Like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Spanish, let's say.
Yeah, it could be. It could be a Spanish woman. I feel like adding any nationality then colors her behavior in some way, which is what the joke is trying not to do. It doesn't really matter. She's a woman. They don't know where she's from, right? She doesn't say anything. So they're rattling along. They're all reading the newspaper or whatever. I'm guessing this joke is taking place in, like, you know, we're like a sort of a pre-70s kind of era. Mm-hmm. And after a while, this woman farts really loudly. Mm-hmm. And the Englishman, Spanish. Yeah, in Spanish, yeah. It had an exclamation point upside down.
Yeah, that's how you knew it was coming.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Olé. And then, the Englishman stands up. He decides he's going to take the blame for this in a gentlemanly manner. So he stands up and he says, I'm very sorry, gentlemen, I had sausages for breakfast. And they all sort of nod. The train carries on. About 15 minutes later, the woman farts again. And the Frenchman this time decides that it's sort of his national pride. He has to stand up and take the blame for this. He stands up and he's like, oh, désolé, monsieur, you know, something about eggs or whatever. Yeah. He sits back down. They all go back to reading the paper. About 15 minutes later, the Russian stands up and he says, gentlemen, I'm going out for a cigarette, but if this woman farts again, please say that it was me.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. They want to participate, you know?
The women?
No Russians.
Oh. It's like farting.
Yeah.
They want to fart too.
Well, yeah, that's what first wave feminism was about.
Well, that's another bachelorette party tradition we could take on.
Farting.
You know,
yeah.
Farting.
Yeah.
Is that one of them?
I feel like that's more of a stag do tradition.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But hang on, I want to find out how on earth finding a driving license is a ghost story.
Yes.
If I could go back in time to that quote-unquote incident, I would continue to hold on to both licenses to this day to prove it. But being a 10-year-old, I wasn't interested in Supernatural or whatever it was.
She got fake ID at 10.
Yeah. Oh, maybe he's just giving her the driving license because she's that kind of child where she's like, I want the item. You know?
Pretend to drive next to him or something.
Yeah, but I don't want to pretend to drive illegally.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're pretending to be a learner driver.
Yeah.
You're not even pretending to be allowed to drive. You're pretending to have a provisional license.
Well, yeah, I can drive with you in the car. It still does make sense.
Yeah. No, but she can't drive with her dad in the car because he doesn't hold a full driver's license. So they'd have to, like, the mum would have to be in the car.
She's in the front.
Yeah,
she's
driving
to the airport.
Yeah.
Her license is very old.
So she's claiming that there's only one of those driving licenses and she found two, and the ghost is the second driving license? Well,
I put one of the licenses back in the jacket pocket, leaving my hand free to reach up to my top pocket. Not finding any money, I went into the pocket to take back my second license, but it had gone again. Now, the reason I wanted to read this is because of the ending lines. Uh-huh. It says, I was at the jacket the whole time. My dad's old license appeared and disappeared within less than a minute. The fact my sister also remembers it too is weird. I've never seen or felt a ghost, but there is definitely a third dimension out there.
That's funny. A third
dimension.
Who knew? 3D. Imagine.
Yeah. Wait, is this take place in the Simpsons universe?
Yeah. Cartoon, yeah.
Yeah. It's there's depth. I'm feeling very third dimensional here.
This is a post written by someone who hasn't been told to shut up enough in their life.
Oh, she's telling the story about the second driving license again.
Rambling, nonsensical story. It's not even about ghosts.
Yeah. Mostly about just someone who hallucinated a driving license at 10.
It's the most I've heard the phrase driving license in a 10-minute period of my life.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with anything.
This reminds me, can I show you a Facebook post that I enjoyed?
Of course you can.
Is this allowed?
Yeah, you can show
you
whatever
you
want.
You guys keep talking. I'm going to find it real quick.
So I tried to find, unfortunately, I tried to find more
corroborating evidence.
I tried, where's the jacket? why don't we get the boffins from Neil Bones or CSI to review the jacket?
Well, did the driving license have bones in it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No.
We need more boffins, in my view. We should bring back
another
boffins.
Another boffin, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What happened to boffins? They used to be referenced a lot by the press.
Yeah.
Boffins.
What's a boffin? Is that stupid to ask?
No, it's like a really smart, like, I mean, a scientist, mathematician, like.
It kind of means like zadrot. It's like.
Oh, I see.
It's a slightly contemptuous English way to refer to a smart person.
Yeah.
It's that area of language that I call, like, Beano language. That's only
Only
the fucking British press, like boffins guzzling champagne and scoffing chockies.
This sounds like a great bachelor party.
But this fucking like baby talk that only newspapers use.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Like if a newspaper report about Large Hadron Collider party, like to celebrate the opening of it or something, like as the boffins guzzled champagne and scoffed chockies. Very someone was heard to say.
The Daily Sport. Mm-hmm. Kind of. A certain type of newspaper.
Yeah, it gives me such a headache.
Yeah, it's fucked. Like, I think it would be fun, though, if, like, the BBC started doing it, you know, just, like, in an otherwise completely serious article, being like, and the boffins at Cancer Research UK have discovered a new drug which scientists think could almost eradicate breast cancer.
Consumers are warned that leaving their telly box on at the wall could take up too much of their lecky. I hate it.
You really know that you're scared. I like that.
It genuinely makes me angry in a way that is, like, misophonia level of, like, irritation. And I've always hated it. I hate it when it's, you know, like the restaurants where the signs are like, num, num, it's brekkie time, whatever. Yeah. Just go, shut up.
Yeah.
Useful words, please.
Nom, 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 fuck off.
All that shit. Pinch of nom and all that shit. Yeah, that fucking recipe book by those two ladies. Pinch of nom.
Pinch of nom. Pinch my nom.
Fuckers. Nom. I really hate it so, wait, what so
are you,
much.
What are you asking for? Pinch my nom.
Don't know.
Give me the world's smallest hand job.
What's nom? Nom is like the skin behind your balls. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pinch the anterior
of the sack.
Yeah.
Becoming that kid in school who's like, well, actually, the weenus is the bit on your elbow.
By the way, before I go on to reading Olga's Facebook post, the reason that that word was in my mind is I was talking about high school bullying the other day, and the kind of high school bullying you get in Britain, and so that was also
dark and psychological.
That's what you'd get called, apparently.
A what?
Boffin.
A boffin.
Oh, okay.
Or like a
well, in like
a
1970,
SWAT?
Maybe.
SWAT, yeah, SWAT or.
I think boffin's kind of affectionate. Actually,
it's like rueful, like they can't have a conversation, but they can sure cook up a hell of a machine. It's kind of patronizing.
Like you imagine them stood around a contraption with clipboards.
Yeah, exactly.
If they build something with wings, the wings like flap like an accordion. Mm. It's all like Dr. Seuss shit.
Yeah. Like Q in James Bond is a boffin.
Q's a boffin. Definitely.
Yeah.
But again, newspaper advertising to the British general public, like, the boffins down at Q branch have made an exploding pen so easy a housewife could use it.
They've told him to bring it back in one piece, but I'm sure that scam 007 won't.
The Daily Sport has incredible national security reporting, but only communicates it that way.
The boffins down at plastic surgery headquarters are coming up with a way to make tits even bigger. Turn to page 3 of the Sunday Sport.
So this is what Olga has just handed me. Yes, please.
Okay, cool. So this is something that my boyfriend discovered on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I believe this is a comment under people complaining about Whataburgers, the burger chain.
Okay.
This is a comment from Dave. I'm 67 and I ain't dead yet. I'll tell you what to avoid though. Whataburgers gave me my third heart attack. Okay. Edit. Gee, I didn't realize Whataburger would trigger so many folks. They used to be good.
Classic liberals getting triggered by Whataburger.
They will kill you. So if you missed it,
heart attack
1 and 2 were tax related, I guess. 3 was definitely Whataburgers. 4.
Wait, what? That's a rule.
Wait. 4 was while kayaking at Bill Evans. No signal and alone. Ate some aspirin and rode it out.
Does this person know what a heart attack is? Do you think it was just having stomach trouble?
I just wrote it out.
Yeah,
not here we go again. Been here before.
5 was at Elephant.
5
Butte kayaking again. TRC Hospital.
Don't go kayaking again.
Why is his beef with Whataburger when kayaking scores 2?
Yeah, exactly.
Kayak
Whataburger's way in the past.
Yeah, kayak me into a heart attack once. Shame on me.
And was he alone the second time as well?
They're seeing him down the kayak store and they're like, come on, Bill, you know you can't.
You gotta quit.
Marjorie will be furious.
Oh my god. So how is that it? So he's on 5.
And then it's TRC, I don't know, hospital keeps the back door locked, so you either have to beat on the doors and yell or crawl to the front door. It's a long ride to cruises too, which I'm assuming is another place. And then someone comments on it saying, my guy, if you have had 5 heart attacks, I'm not sure the blame lies with the burger joint.
Exactly. It clearly lies with the tax man. But, and kayaks.
He started it. It's all the tax man.
I cannot get over no signal and alone, ate some aspirin and rode it out.
How is he spelled road out of interest?
R-O-D-E.
He is kayaking. Oh, okay, yeah. I thought also road. I mean.
Mm. Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, rode a kayak. Yeah. Was you gotta somewhere. Keep paddling.
So good.
So oh there are God. Reviews of the Bill Evans Lake Wildlife Area. The one-star review just said, from Resort 83224.
Uh-oh.
Just says, this is a man-made round hole trimmed with trash.
I have a name!
This is a man-made round hole in the earth filled with water and surrounded with trash. Do not waste your time and gas to go to this.
Where is Bill Evans?
It is in, well, it's in Silver City, which I think is in New Mexico.
So many places in America just sound like places in a Pokemon game.
Yeah.
Silver City. Nothing. That means nothing to me at all. It's got no associations.
I guess it wasn't named by sort of waves of conquest of people speaking different languages.
That's it,
so
yeah.
much of like, if you speak Saxon, a lot of like English place names is just, it's Canute's Hill.
It's correct.
Yeah.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, it's...
Yeah, Canute was there.
Yeah. That's him. That's his
loved
hill.
A good hill, Canute. Sea won't get out of there.
Yeah.
Even Tottenham.
Yeah. That's just like...
Tottenham. Tottenham's
field.
Village.
Is enclosed...
Ham, village, hamlet.
Oh, right, hamlet, yeah.
Town.
Mm.
Yeah. Tons of... Like, all this... Oxton and... that's fields,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
it's all weird Saxon names.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, cool bits of London. Sort of odd combo.
Ancient Saxon hipsters.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing's changed, really. I mean,
Yeah.
The first guys to hear Beowulf.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you what, Pitchfork was a very different brand back then.
No, it doesn't rhyme. It's a little more avant-garde than that, actually. That was the, like a
no,
new
boxer. No, it's not Middle English. That would be derivative.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't understand anything he's saying.
But if just three sort of successive waves of sort of invasion of America, and then like, so like, oh yes, well it was called Silver Lake, you know, before it was Mandarinized or whatever.
I like the parts of America that are just called like Swedeburg. Well, Swedes. Okay, fair enough.
You know how, like, sometimes when you're learning about, like, racism in Australia, I'm getting to place names here. Yeah. It takes on an almost
when
like
you're learning how to do it.
Parody,
just as well as they do.
Like, almost like parody of racism anywhere else. Like, recently I was listening to some Australian podcast, and they were talking about there was some project in Australia to rename racist town names. And I assumed that this was going to be like, you know, it's named after a guy who was a slave trader.
Like,
or like
Captain Cook is Great Town.
Yeah, that kind of thing. No, there were towns called like N-Word Hills. And like,
oh,
you're just
God.
Like, what? Like, this is so on the nose. Like, how this is so crazy, even for, like, 19th century racism.
I wonder if you live somewhere that has a name like that, you get blocked from ordering stuff on, like, Amazon and stuff.
Like,
they just go, that's not a place.
Because it's just your address. Yeah. You're just saying that, and you're like, I'm really sorry.
I'm as upset as you that I live there.
Yeah.
But it's, I would like this air fryer, please.
Are you, like, censoring it? Like, this guy's
and
refusing
asterisk,
to give his
asterisk,
whole address.
Asterisk. Yeah. I mean, but wouldn't you all just, like, as a group, agree to just rename it? And because my mate lives on a road, and he just calls his house the Old White Gate. And after about 5 years, the postman has finally accepted that that's what
he's
it
learned,
is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can kind of change the places that you... Cause my
was
mate
this
lived
because
on,
the house before didn't have a name, or it had some kind of revolting name?
It had, even worse, a number. Can you imagine how common he
was
wanted
it
to have a name.
Number, like 69. 69
there's got to be a cutoff as to when you can have a house with a name rather than a number. Like the last named house where it's sort of not stupid that the house is named rather than numbered has to have been built already, right? Like before the 20s.
It's weird to have a named house that's in a row of terrace houses.
Yeah, but this is the thing. It's really quite tragic.
It's got to be a standalone house.
You're like, well, why is this one... Why is this one fucking Rosemary Cottage? It's not the next one.
It's just another Pebble Dash house. It's called Rosemary Cottage.
Yeah.
Pebble House.
It feels like it needs to be on its own.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it needs to live up to a name. It can't just be like any old house.
Like the last like reasonably named house in Britain was probably built in like 1910. or so.
Right.
Thereabouts. Everything else is just like, just go with a number. Just take the number.
Yeah. That's like a quote from a UKIP manifesto. Last reasonably named house was built in 1910.
Like the names have gone woke now.
I like the niche complaints. There was a UKIP manifesto pledge years ago to repaint trains in traditional colors. That's my favorite.
Oh, wow.
Policy
ever.
What is the problem?
I don't know. I have no idea
what
a traditional color is.
And what is a traditional color?
I guess like racing green, like that British forest racing green. Yeah. That's an old fashioned like steam
GWR
engine
ones.
Color.
Yeah, the only unwoke railway is GWR.
If you can even tell that's a train.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's got a pointy end instead of being a bit on fire. Pipe at the end.
We've got to bring back coal powered trains.
Yeah.
That's our big thing.
Yeah, oh, sorry, would you like to breathe woke air? Exactly.
Yeah.
The train's going to be on fire at the front from now on.
That is sort of like a Keir Starmer policy, though, like attempting to triangulate, like being like, oh, well, people on the left love the trains and people on the right love fossil fuels, so here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I think that the train could work very well on steam power. I think we could get it everywhere. We could turn the London Underground onto steam power, and I think that will really bring the country together.
So I live near... A racistly named street that got renamed.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. So I live not far from a street that was called Black Boy Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And people sort of insisted, no, it's named after chimney sweep children. So it's like, it's named after child labor, not racism.
Yeah, yeah. Really dangerous child labor as well.
Yeah, famously dangerous.
So it was renamed La Rose Lane.
Oh, wow. That's quite a leap from Black
they
Boy
quite
Lane.
Flamboyant with that.
Yeah.
La Rose. What?
La Rose. It's a celebration of John LaRose, who was like a champion of civil rights activist,
right.
Basically.
Okay.
We're going to rename the racist street to the name of a civil rights activist.
Sure.
That seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
It does say La Rose Lane. I walk by this street on my way to the train to get down here on the days where I don't do the change because the change is stupid.
Yeah. Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, thank you.
This is good information for people to want to park that van full of Lebanese wine.
Yeah,
I would like the
on
wine.
On the right street.
I want the wine, so I want to tell them where to park the van.
Yeah,
I can outsmart them once it comes. I can get the bait, and I won't fall into the trap.
We've heard that before.
That's the plan.
There's going to be a big wire snapped around your neck the next time we see you.
Riley would have been captured so easily by Hezbollah. It's a good job that he wasn't in Beirut in the 80s.
Lured into a Lebanese wine. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That would have been easy.
No, but that would have been less of a bait because it's just like what's everywhere here. We're at the source.
But no, that's a good winery, Chateau Musard. It's like you could lure me anywhere with Hambledon. Yeah, English sparkling whites all over England, but I would still be lured by Hambledon. Okay. You know? Anyway, Black Boy Lane.
If you're not familiar with it, Hambledon is that musical where it's all hip-hop about the American Revolution.
but they're sort of muttering.
Yeah.
No, it's they have a cold. All the actors have a cold.
Well, they have their mouths full. It's Hamilton with mouths full. Hambledon. Hambledon. The whole thing's like that.
It's new. It's a new annoying sort of panto for adults thing where instead of one actor being drunk, it's one actor has their mouth full.
Nonchalantly chewing.
So basically, if you search Black Boy Lane on Twitter, though, you will find endless people who suggest that things the council should have spent money on was instead spent on renaming Black Boy Lane to La Rose Lane.
It was spent on renaming. What costs were involved?
Yeah. Well, the drain cleaning budget apparently went on painting rainbow crossings and renaming Black Boy Lane.
That's two things.
They won't say how much. Another person's complaining that they won't say how much money they spent on renaming Black Boy Lane.
Why don't they come out and say £1?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just to be, it would make them so much angrier because they're like, well, it can't have been £1. And go, that's all. I don't know what to tell you.
It's that easy.
It was £1. I did it for £1. I painted the new
one. What they've done is here, though, they've poked the bear because they've renamed a street that was racist. You know, it was a street for racists to enjoy, and they've renamed it as like the opposite of a racist street. They've gone too far. What they should have done was renamed it something less racist, but that was acceptable. Like call it like John Terry Street or something. You know, just like a bit.
Call it Terry Peck Street. So it will always, this is from Doomed London. It will always be Black Boy Lane to me.
I wonder what Doomed London thinks about this.
That's our sister podcast.
I have no intention of calling it Rosebud Road or whatever it is. Lefty, wokey rubbish that no one wanted or even care about until Haringey butted their wokery nose into the argument.
Rosebud Road. Oh, the wokists have named it after the thing from Citizen Kane. Well, so, they love black and white films.
Spoilers.
So what had happened? So,
woke spoilers.
Some of us haven't seen Citizen Kane. It's all right for you up there in your ivory tower with your 35mm projector.
Some of us are so angry we can't watch films. It's not fair.
I get 5 minutes into Citizen Kane. I'm already accusing it of being too black.
Furious.
And then apparently, like, some people... like reinstalled signs that said Black Boy Lane.
Oh, yes, God.
Wow. Well, like
how much did that cost?
Gorilla signage.
That money could have gone towards some rainbow crossings.
Could have at least fixed the drains.
Yeah.
Then they should. Well, this is the solution. Then they do some racist crossings for those people to enjoy, just like a swastika painted on the road. You know?
Yeah. Or just Enoch Powell trampoline. And there could just be a big trampoline in the park. And if you like Enoch Powell, you could go bounce on it. And go, immigration, and bounce up and down, shouting.
Enoch Powell
Memorial Trampoline. And people will break their arm and they won't want to tell people how.
Yeah.
What happened to your arm? Oh, it's nothing.
I don't agree with it.
He was bouncing on the Enoch Powell Memorial Trampoline.
There wasn't exactly a Mahatma Gandhi trampoline available.
I just wanted a trampoline. I didn't read the sign before I got on. Yeah.
No, so it just says trampoline. Then you look down, and as you bounce further up, you sort of realize you get more perspective.
It's his face. Yeah. The cover is his
like,
face.
Wait a minute.
Hang on. I think I'm bouncing on Enoch Powell.
Yeah. I would have gone on the Michael Jackson did nothing wrong trampoline, but that was too busy.
Queues around the block, all down that lane.
Back to race!